When sentient beings think on Amida, just as a child thinks of its mother, they indeed see the Tathagata, who is never distant, both in the present and in the future. Kono haha o omou ga gotoku ni te, shujo butsu o oku sureba, genzen tōrai tōrazu, tōkarazu, nyōrai o haiken utagawazu, koga haha o sou you ni. Inochi aru mono ga Amida butsu o kokoro kara shinjiru to, kono you demo, tsugi no you demo, machigai naku hotoke o miru koto ga dekiru to. Good morning, everyone. Minasan, ohayou gozaimasu. It's wonderful to be here with you today on Mother's Day. You know, this Mother's Day, many of us are living still, of course, under this shelter in place. I know many of you are joining us from different parts of the country, and your regulations may be relaxing a little bit. Here in San Mateo, we're still continuing through the end of this month under this shelter in place order. Which means that we're not able to gather together and to observe Mother's Day in the way that we might normally do so. I think some of us are still able to perhaps get together with our parents. Of course, those of us who live with our parents are able to see each other. But for some of us who perhaps parents live far away, or for the sake of everyone's safety, are not able to gather, it's a time when we really miss and feel this sense of wanting to be together, be in the same place. And under this shelter in place, I think all the more we have a deepened appreciation for being able to spend time together, to gather in the same place. And I think we're also, for me at least, I'm reflecting on the importance of these in-person meetings, these what we think of as chance encounters that, from a Buddhist perspective, are determined by our past experiences, what we call our karmic conditions, bring us together. And so I'm thinking about that, particularly on this Mother's Day, and I'm thinking about one encounter that happened in the mid-1970s in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and this happened at Uncle Sam's Disco. Uncle Sam's Disco. Some of you may remember what a disco is. Disco is a certain kind of a dance club that was very popular in the mid-70s, and in Minneapolis there was one called Uncle Sam's, and two people met there that night. And it was really a marvelous encounter because neither of them were regular attendees, regular patrons of Uncle Sam's Disco. In fact, Uncle Sam's Disco was for both of them a place that they had been trying to avoid going to. Their friends would say, "Hey, let's go to Uncle Sam's Disco. Let's go, let's go." And they would say, "No, no." One of these people was a young woman. She grew up on a farm in Iowa, a very rural area, and she had moved up to Minneapolis to continue her studies, to go to study at the University of Minnesota. And she had heard that the area around Uncle Sam's Disco was not a very safe part of the city. It was a little bit dangerous. There was kind of a lot of crime. And so she thought, you know, I'd rather not go. Besides, I'm not really into disco music. It's a little bit loud for me. The other person who met that evening was a young man, and he had been living in Minnesota since he was about 15 years old. His mother had passed away when he was 14, unexpectedly. She was a single mother, and so he was sent by his grandparents to study at a school, a private school there that had a boarding school, and so he was studying there. And then he continued to kind of live there, although he had spent a couple years in the Navy. He had gone off. He had seen the world. Then he returned back, also back to Minnesota to finish his studies. And he, after he was just finishing up his college education, and after college, his idea was he was going to be a police officer. That was what he wanted to do. And so he would very carefully study, you know, the local crime reports, and he would study the various activities of the police in the Minneapolis area. And what he had learned was that indeed the neighborhood around Uncle Sam's disco was not safe at all. There was a lot of crime in that neighborhood. And so he really didn't want to go to Uncle Sam's disco. However, on this one evening, both of their friends somehow managed to convince them. Let's go. Come on, let's go. You got to try it. It's so much fun. The music's great. They've got a disco ball, a mirrored ball on the ceiling that spins around. And lights are shooting everywhere. Everybody's wearing very fashionable bell-bottom pants. And they're doing the dance like Saturday Night Fever. And so you really got to go. It's a great time. You'll love the disco. And so they were both very reluctant. They didn't really want to go, but they said, okay, if you'll just stop bothering me, I'll go this once. And then never talk to me again about Uncle Sam's disco for the rest of my life. And so they both went, they got there, and I imagine they were both, you know, kind of uncomfortable. It wasn't their scene. It wasn't the kind of place that they normally would hang out. Music was loud. Everybody's dancing around. And I think they saw each other and they recognized, this person feels like me. This person isn't very comfortable here either. And so I don't know what they said to each other, but I imagine it was something like, wow, this music is loud, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Oh, my friends made me come. I know, me too. And then a conversation began, and they realized that they had a lot in common. These two people who would not normally go to this place, for some reason, through causes and conditions, had met in this place and realized they shared a special connection. And so that evening, they exchanged phone numbers. They continued to get together. And about a year later, not even a year later, actually, they were married. A couple of years later, they had a son. Do you know who that son was? It was me, right? These were my parents. This is the story of how my parents met. And all growing up, they would tell me about how I could never, ever go to that club. It's still open to this day. It's actually a very famous nightclub. It's called First Avenue. It's a famous nightclub in Minnesota. Lots of famous musicians tour there. And I was never allowed to go there because they remember that night and they remembered how nervous they felt. And so it's very interesting. I still to this day have not been to this club, but this was a place where my parents met. And so when I think back on this circumstance, how marvelous, how wonderful that they had managed to meet up that evening. Because neither of them would regularly go to this place. They were both dragged there by their friends, and they made this connection, and that connection made my life possible. And so we don't know, we can't understand the difficult and the marvelous causes and conditions that bring us to be born into human life. Because if my parents had never met, they never would have gotten married, they never would have had me, and I wouldn't be here today. And my children also would not be here if it weren't for Uncle Sam's discotheque. Right? And so we read these words of the threefold refuge. Difficult is it to be born into human life. Difficult is it to receive a human life. Now we are left. Right? Difficult is it to hear the teachings of the Buddha. Now we hear it. Right? So we think about how our lives begin even before we're born. I wasn't at Uncle Sam's that evening, but in a way, my life, the potential for my life and even my children's lives was there in that encounter. So I could say that my life was already existed in its potential in that moment. Even if I go back further to Kansas City, where my grandparents met, even there, my life existed. So life begins even before we are born. And life goes on even beyond the time that we pass from this world. This time of Mother's Day, many of us are reflecting on parents and feeling gratitude for parents who have already. It could be a mother, it could be a father. Today we're remembering both our parents, all of our parents, all those who've cared for us and nurtured us. But as we remember those parents, even though they're not here with us, we still remember them. on Mother's Day, her parents and her grandparents who have already crossed over to the other shore. And one of our Buddhist traditions, this is a very important Buddhist tradition, is to reflect upon how our lives begin before we're born and how they continue on after we die. One of our Buddhist traditions is to observe memorial services. We observe, of course, funerals and 49-day memorials, but even going on to a one-year memorial, a seven-year memorial, a 13-year memorial. And so one year, it was about 10 years ago now, when I first became a minister, my father was coming out to visit, and I had been doing a lot of these memorial services for temple members. And I was thinking, who are the family members that I would like to remember and show gratitude for? And I thought about, well, my father's mother. He always talks about her, about his good memories of her when they were growing up. And he doesn't talk too much about, you know, the time when she passed away. But I think, you know, it would be really nice to remember her, because her 50-year memorial service is coming up. So this was when 63 years old. So we observe this service 49 years after someone passes. We observe the 50-year memorial. And so we did this service. And initially, my father was like, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I want to go back and remember all of those memories. But when we actually came to the temple, we did this at the Oxnard Buddhist Temple, and we did this service, we had this experience. Initially, my parents were a little bit shy about it, but then I explained and showing gratitude. And so my father brought a portrait of my grandmother in her military uniform. She'd been in the army during World War II. My mother made a nice arrangement of flowers, brought this. And so we had this service at the temple before the image of the Buddha. My parents even came up and did Oshoko. I explained that it's not like you're worshiping the Buddha, like you're praying to a god. This is your way of showing gratitude. And afterward, my father said, you know, I haven't thought about that experience, that time of when my mother passed away. And I didn't go to her funeral service. So this was my chance. This was my first chance to say I'm grateful to my mother. What a wonderful experience. What a wonderful way to feel her presence with me. And so as we remember loved ones, we remember those who are with us, we remember those who have crossed over to the other shore, we show our gratitude by coming before the image, joining our hands in gassho, and saying Namo Amida Butsu. So this is a tradition that goes back throughout the history of Buddhism. There's a famous story from one of the our important teachers in our tradition, Honen Shonin, who was Shinran Shonin's teacher. Honen Shonin was invited to one of these memorial services conducted by one of his very close companions in the Nembutsu, one of his man by the name of Kujo Kanezane. And Kanezane was a very powerful, very wealthy man. And so he had a memorial service for his father because he was so grateful for all that his father has done to make his life possible. Remembering his father, he conducted this memorial service, and he invited many very famous, very important monks, monks who were the leaders of big temples with lots of very hardworking, dedicated monks doing very difficult practices. And he also invited Honen Shonin. Honen at the time was not a big, you know, a famous, very prestigious monk. He was well known, but he was known because he led this kind of strange community of people. There were monks who weren't observing all the rules for being a monk. There were even some robbers and other people who wouldn't be able to join other Buddhist communities. There were samurai warriors who, you know, often would go off to battle. And so these were people who didn't have a place in other Buddhist communities, and Honen welcomed them. And Kujo Kanezane was one of these people who was welcomed into Honen's community. So he said, let us welcome Honen to this gathering. And his other family members agreed. And when they decided where everybody was going to line up to do the ceremony, that Honen Shonin was asked to go to the very front, the most important position of honor, which was kind of strange because it should have been one of these monks of a very famous, bigger temple. Some of the biggest temples in Japan had their head monks there. But Honen, this leader of this small group of people, was invited to sit in the very seat of honor. And the reason for this is that Kujo Kanezane, when he remembered his father, when he thought about his father, the teaching that most completely expressed, the teaching that best showed his feeling of gratitude for his father was the Nembutsu. These words, Namo Amida Butsu. Because as another of Honen Shonin's students, Shinran Shonin writes, when people think on Amida, when you think about Amida Buddha and say Namo Amida Butsu, just as a child thinks of its mother, they indeed see the Buddha, who is never distant. They see the Buddha's wisdom in all different aspects of their lives, both in the present and in the future. And throughout our lives, when we hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu, we feel the same kind of closeness that we feel to our own parents with the Buddha. And so we read these words of our pledge, which, or not our pledge rather, but the threefold refuge, which says, difficult is it to be born into human born. Difficult is it to hear the teaching of the Buddha, to hear this Nembutsu teaching. And then it goes on to say, if we do not realize liberation in this life, when shall it be realized? So we have this precious opportunity of our human life, thanks to our parents who were able to give, our mothers who gave birth to us, parents who raised us up so that we were able to live up to this point in our lives. Maybe they're our birth parents, maybe they're adoptive parents, maybe they're someone who is like a parent to us. So we all have somebody in our life who played that role. And it's thanks to that person that we're able to be alive today to hear the Buddha's teaching. All of the things that they did directed us in our life to this moment where we hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu. And in these words, Namo Amida Butsu, in this time of confusion, difficulty, and stress, we receive great peace of mind, knowing that the Buddha is never far from us, knowing that our parents are still with us. Many of them still live with us. In some cases, they've crossed over to the other shore, but they are our guides on our path to awakening, just as the Buddha is always there, present with us. So for me, as I observe Mother's Day today and think about my parents and grandparents, I do so with a heart that's filled with gratitude, because it's thanks to them that I've been able to hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu. I've been able to be alive here today in this world where the Nembutsu flourishes, live here in San Mateo, where I get to see each of you at least once a week here on Zoom for those who are able to join us. And then we hear the Nembutsu together, these words, Namo Amida Butsu, take comfort in the Buddha's compassion and truly appreciate this wonderful gift of human life. So I'll conclude at this time, once again, hearing these words of Shinran Shonin. Invite you to join me in Gassho. When sentient beings think on Amida, just as a child thinks of its mother, they indeed see the Tathagata, who is never distant, both in the present and in the future. Kono haha o omou ga gotoku ni te, shujou o butsu oku sureba, genzen tōrai, tōkarazu, myōrai o haiken utagawazu, tō. Namo Amida Butsu, 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 Namo Amida Butsu.